in my work because I enjoy being in a position where I can help people with whatever struggles that they're going through, because like you in life, I've struggled. I haven't had an easy life. I've faced many challenges beginning in my childhood, being adopted, being raised in an abusive household, and physical violence and all the problems that stem from that, like depression, anxiety, lots of things going on for me in my life. But I can look back on it now, and instead of being the victim of all the crap that happened to me, I can step into a story where I'm the hero of my own life, and I've been able to take that crap and turn it into something positive. So a message to share with you, something to offer for people in terms of their own struggles, their own journey of healing. So I believe that I have been able to overcome a lot of my struggles and turn that into healing for myself. One of the most powerful choices that we can make in life is to forgive. The essence of forgiveness is letting go of the past and our negative feelings about the injury that's occurred. It doesn't mean that what happened is acceptable. It doesn't mean that it's okay. It just means that we've decided to move past it, not let it control us anymore and continue to bring us down. It's about reclaiming your energy so that you can live freely and fully in the moment instead of giving energy away to other people and other things. After experiencing a painful situation in life, a common defense mechanism a lot of people employ is to cast blame, to make it someone else's fault, to make them wrong and to make myself right and to try to get support for that. And, you know, temporarily that does provide a little bit of relief, but it's not a long-term solution because it's not getting at the root of the problem of what is truly causing us emotional pain at the core. So the pain continues to resurface again and again. And the more we tell our story of how we were hurt and how the other person is to blame and how we're the victim, the more it reinforces that story in our mind. So it tends to give us the validation of this need to be angry, to seek revenge, to feel sorry for ourselves, and perpetuate our own suffering. So while it does help temporarily, a better solution is forgiveness, because forgiveness breaks the cycle. It enables us to let go of our grievances and past pain. It can restore feelings of peace and give us freedom to move forward in life. So that sounds wonderful. In practice, it's actually very difficult to do. A lot of times we don't really want to forgive, and that's, you know, that is a valid part of the process of forgiveness, and we'll touch on that soon. A lot of times we just don't know how or what's involved. Sometimes people think, you know, it's just forget about it, but that's not true forgiveness, so we'll dive into that a little bit deeper. There are lots of misconceptions about what forgiveness is and what it's not, and hopefully I can explain some of that to get you guys thinking about what you believe is valid about the topic of forgiveness. So a definition of, it's hard to define forgiveness, but there are some components that define what it is and what it's not. So at its basic, most fundamental level, forgiveness is a decision to not pursue revenge or to hold on to resentment. It means letting go of our claim of being wronged, all the stories that go along with that, the need to be right, the desire to blame and cast the other person in a negative light. And that's a big one with gossip, slander, harassment. You'll hear people telling others about how this person's such a bad person, but they cast themselves as, you know, purely innocent and like they had no part in it. And that is what we call the grievance story. So forgiveness involves creating a new story about what occurred, which is peaceful and self-empowering and truthful. It's putting your attention back on yourself rather than on the other person. It's using your experiences in life to improve your own character. Character is something that we can develop. It's not something just automatic. We can choose to reclaim inner peace, and mostly it's about mindful acceptance, about what has occurred, who we are, what to expect from other people, because we're just human. Like, we're all human, we all make mistakes. So acceptance of life. One of the greatest myths about forgiveness is that it's done for the other person, but the truth is we forgive for ourselves, as that quote that Nadia shared. Because when you realize that you're hurting yourself by not forgiving, that it's taking a toll on your mental health, your emotional well-being, your spiritual self, it's draining your energy, and if it goes on long enough, it really does take a toll on your physical health as well, with anxiety and depression, usually addictions, other things like that. So then you begin to realize that forgiveness is actually an act of self-care and love for yourself. It's not about letting the other person off the hook. It's about something you do for yourself. So you're releasing stress and negativity. So if you refer to the list, that the first handout that I've given you, and this is from the forgiveness booklet, which is, I'm using this booklet to facilitate a workshop coming up, either in the fall or the winter. And this is just a little bit of a taste, and this talk is kind of like a prep for me to move into facilitating that workshop. So I appreciate this opportunity. And if you all wouldn't mind, this is a little bit of a participatory component, where if we begin, say, with Lynn, what forgiveness is, if you just read the first point, and then we can move across to Sina, back to Carl, Daryl, Sarah, and everyone just reads a point, and we'll just go weave through the rows like that, just for the first part, what forgiveness is. Would you mind starting, Lynn?
Sure. Forgiveness is taking back your power.
Thank you.
Forgiveness is taking responsibility for how you feel.
Forgiveness is for you and not the offender. Forgiveness is about your healing and not about the people who hurt you.
Forgiveness is a training skill.
Forgiveness is becoming a hero instead of a victim. Forgiveness is a choice.
Thanks, everyone. And that last point is important, because it's not dependent on what anyone else does or doesn't do. It doesn't require someone to apologize to you. It doesn't require any expression of remorse, which is surprising. And like, those things would be nice and certainly helpful towards forgiveness, but they're not necessary. Because, like I said, forgiveness is about yourself and what's going on within you. You can choose to forgive, you can choose not to forgive. And the time, you can also choose the timing of that. It's not something you can force, and it's not something that can be stopped from happening once it is happening. What prevents many people from choosing this idea of forgiveness is they think that somehow they'll be saying that what happened was okay, or it was acceptable. But that's not the case. And that leads us into what forgiveness is not, which is the second half of the page. So if we start at the back, with Izzy, and then weave over to John, and then come back to the front with Lynn.
Forgiveness is not forgiving my kindness.
Forgiveness is not forgiving that something painful happened.
Forgiveness is not excusing poor behavior.
Forgiveness does not have to be an otherworldly or religious experience.
Forgiveness is not denying or minimizing your guilt.
Forgiveness does not mean freaking violating the agenda.
And for the last point, maybe Nadia, instead of Lynn.
The last one?
Yeah.
Forgiveness does not mean you give up having feelings about what occurred.
That was perfect. Everyone got to say one point. Awesome. Exact right number of people here today. So there we have it. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting, necessarily, that cliche, forgive and forget. That's not necessarily true. It doesn't mean excusing hurtful conduct, because there is a place for justice, and that's kind of a different topic. But forgiveness does not necessarily involve reconciling with the offender. So In some cases, it may be appropriate to reconcile and reestablish good terms in a relationship, but in cases where there's abuse or harassment or just a toxic kind of relationship going on, it might be healthier and wiser to just put a boundary in place and choose to have no further contact with that person. And that's healthy and respectful, perfectly acceptable choice. In order to reconcile with someone truly, to reestablish a healthy relationship, forgiveness is a precursor to that, but you should forgive and then reconcile, but you don't have to reconcile in order to forgive. Sometimes people resist the idea of forgiveness because they believe that what happened to them is just too horrible to be forgiven. It's not possible. It just feels like something that they literally can't do. And it can be argued that while some behavior is difficult to forgive, it's not impossible. And this is supported by the fact that in any given circumstance that has ever existed, there has been someone who has been able to choose forgiveness and move into that place authentically. So it's only in our minds that we imagine the offense is unforgivable. But if we look around, there are people who have forgiven that offense. And an inspiring example is Eva Kaur, Holocaust survivor. I think she wrote a book about her experiences. And after a lifetime of seeing herself as a victim, she finally decided to forgive the Nazis who conducted inhumane experiments, medical experiments on her and her sister. And in fact, they killed her entire family. So she wrote, and I think she wrote a book, at first I was adamant that I could never forgive them, but then I realized I had the power to forgive, and it was my right to use this power. It became a gift to myself because I realized I was not a hopeless, powerless victim. Forgiveness is an act of self-healing and self-empowerment. I call it miracle medicine. It's free, it works, and it has no side effects. So that's good. A major obstacle in forgiving is, number one, not knowing how. Number two, being unwilling to do so. So firstly, what's needed are tools to forgive, and secondly, motivation to do so. So the rest of this talk will focus on tools to forgive. The motivation is something that comes from within. And a lot of times, and hopefully this isn't the case for you, because there's the easy way and then there's the hard way in life. And a lot of people, they fall into the difficult path where the pain of carrying a grievance becomes so unbearable that forgiveness becomes the only way out of the pain. But I think, you know, making that choice and taking it upon yourself to learn some of these tools will be an easier path where you choose to forgive before it becomes unbearable. Forgiveness is a learnable skill. That's the good news. And there are basic steps which can be followed and practiced in daily living. And step one, and this is the second page of your handout, step one is called preparation. You conduct a forgiveness inventory. You list all the people who you need to forgive and identify what it is exactly that's needing to be forgiven. And this is something you can do on your own if you feel called to do so. There's the worksheet there for you. Step two involves describing your situation, who's involved, what occurred, your feelings, being truthful, complete, no holds barred, no censoring, pour it all out. There you have it. There is your story. And once you have your story, step three is then deconstructing your story. You're looking at the ways in which you've overly personalized the experience, cast yourself into a victimhood role, blamed other people, while you deconstruct your story, so you're viewing the events less personally, taking responsibility for your feelings, and changing your story so that you're no longer a victim. And in the workshop, it's all broken down kind of step by step as laid out in this booklet and other sources as well. So the fourth step is considering the impact of your story. So this is how you're able to deconstruct your story. It doesn't just happen like that. You have to put some thought into it. So considering how continuing to tell this story to yourself and others is actually shaping your life and how it's creating your reality as well, because we're not passive recipients. We are active co-creators in life. So how is it impacting me? What is it costing me to continue to believe this story? Like mentally, we went over some of the health consequences, anxiety, depression, addictions, etc. Maybe you're experiencing difficulties with family and friends, interpersonal conflict. You look around, you realize, I have no friends anymore. maybe you're starting to lose faith in God and think, you know, what's the point of all this? It's just painful. Life is not naturally painful. That's not the default. Joy is the default. And if carried on long enough, eventually those energetic emotional things start to manifest in physicality. So a lot of times people get sick down the road from stress. Step five involves listening to your emotions. And this is a step that I highly value because it involves developing a deeper awareness of your emotions. And the key to resolving emotions is not to run away from them, but it's to turn and face them and look at them and feel the truth of what you're feeling. And in doing so, it allows that emotion to come up and then release. Because we put a lot of energy into pushing things down and running away from them, but that takes a lot of energy to maintain that. So sometimes that release is just easier. So from that you can develop understanding, and then a shift can occur, which is step six. And this is kind of controversial but interesting nonetheless, and it's from the work of Colin Tipping, Radical Forgiveness. He says that you realize ultimately there is nothing to forgive, because everything that occurred has happened exactly as it was supposed to happen for a divine purpose. And that is for our souls to experience the lessons that we came here to learn. And he even goes further, which is kind of cool. You don't have to believe it, but it is worth considering that somehow in between our lives, our incarnations, if you still believe in reincarnation, we are actually soul family. We are the closest of friends, and we agreed to give each other these experiences. Okay, you play the perpetrator, I'll play the victim, you can be the rescuer, and we'll all carry out our dramas, and we'll carry out our roles perfectly, and know that we love each other so much that even this tragedy that we're going to undergo together cannot pull us apart, because that's how strong our love is for each other on that level. So there is nothing to forgive. It is all for the purpose of our evolution spiritually. Now, this is a difficult perspective for someone who's experienced a lot of suffering and a lot of trauma. And like I said, there's no forcing this perspective on anyone, but it is something to consider. Is it valid? How does it apply? What can I learn? Is it possible? Just a willingness, open-mindedness. Seventh step, asking yourself, am I ready to forgive? And then honoring where you're at with that, because you might not be ready. And that's totally fine. Because what you then do is you take the truth of that and you explore the resistance. Why am I not ready to forgive? What other emotional needs are not being met? And what steps can I take to actually get those needs met? So maybe it's gathering resources, educating yourself, building up a support network, having corrective emotional experiences, counseling, therapy, other forms of energy healing, any kind of spiritual healing is helpful to on your path of forgiveness. Because there's going to be progress and there's going to be setbacks along the way. It's not a linear path. So just honoring the truth of where you're at and realizing some days might be easier, some days might be harder. Step eight is looking for the positive intention. So instead of getting stuck on all the things that went wrong, assuming malicious intention on behalf of the other people involved, they did this on purpose, they're trying to hurt me. No, instead, you shift your focus onto the original positive intention. Why you got into that situation in the first place. And a good example is if you've been in a difficult relationship for a very long time. You feel resentment towards the other person, you're angry at yourself for staying so long. You get to a point where, you know, you decide, okay, this relationship isn't working out. This is your choice point. So you identify your original positive intention was to have a loving, positive relationship. So you can either choose to just kind of like sit there and feel hurt and feel bitter about it and get stuck in that, or you can choose to move forward in your life, refocusing on, okay, what I truly wanted here, even though it didn't work out, was a healthy, loving relationship. So I'm going to take steps now to have that dream come true, whether that's with the partner, you know, rebuilding, or maybe looking for a new partner. But it's the original intention. So the next step, number 9, is most important and most difficult, and that is forgiving yourself. For a lot of people, it's difficult. So once you realize how you actually played a part in creating and maintaining the situation, how you've created the grievance story, which has perpetuated the suffering, you've hurt other people, knowingly or unknowingly, through your own confusions, you have hurt other people, you realize that you start to feel guilty. You're like, oh no, maybe I'm a bad person. You feel guilt, self-criticism, remorse. Hopefully you would feel remorse, you know. Like, if you don't, then that's something else. So yeah, there's regret. So you can start to release the negative self-judgment. Have compassion for yourself. Walk yourself through all these steps that we're going through right now, but with yourself in mind instead of with the other in mind, and then you do the forgiveness process on yourself. Identifying what needs to be forgiven, what's learned, having compassion. So finally we get to the 10th step, which involves rewriting your story. So this is shifting from seeing yourself as a victim to seeing yourself as a hero. And a hero is someone who has demonstrated courage and overcome hardship. The root word of courage is kor, which means heart. So having heart, living from the heart, feeling from the heart space instead of always just being in the mind. Courage means feeling fear and doing it anyway. It doesn't mean being fearless. So a hero is willing to learn and grow, take back their power, step into a position of influence in their world, so they're in control of their destiny. They see life as interactive instead of just something that happens to them. You're focusing on positive intentions of everyone involved, having compassion for yours and others' choices, beliefs, and actions. Expressing gratitude for how you feel and for the situation and those involved. And that's like a significant marker. When you can have a moment of gratitude, even if it's just a fleeting second, you know you've made progress because you can look back and say, you know, I am actually thankful that I had that experience because look where I am now. Look what it's taught me. I'm so much wiser. I'm so much stronger. I have character now from having gone through that crap. Glad it's over though. So the 11th step, integration. This is anchoring the story into your mind and heart with strong images and feelings. So guided visualization, guided meditation is a good way of doing this. And this is reinforcing your new beliefs about yourself, your new identity, your new way of being in the world, your new story about what happened in the past and what is destined for your future. So you're co-creating. So you continue to do this over and over. It's not just going to be instant magic. You have to reinforce it on a continuous basis in your daily life until you have this new sense of strength, empowerment, and identity. It's a constant choice daily. We make choices daily. Step 12 is completion, and this is closure. So asking yourself what's left that needs to be said or done in order to completely resolve this experience, and then taking steps to achieve those things. So coming up with an action plan, specific things that you can do or experiences that you can have to get your needs met, solidifying your new perspective and acknowledging progress that you're making, whether it's just like a baby step or a complete release, which would be nice, but usually it's a baby step in the process. And one way to affirm and celebrate these changes for yourself is through ritual and or ceremony. So this is a powerful way of communicating with the deeper aspects of yourself or with the world of spirit. And during these rituals and ceremonies, you create intentions as to what you'd like to draw into your life and what you'd like to release from your life. And there are many valid ways of doing this, one of which is a burning ceremony, which is incorporated into the workshop that I'll be facilitating. Other examples are baptism, sweat lodge, any kind of energy work, crystal healing, whatever is personally relevant to you. And that's something I can walk people through as well in my job, career, whatever. So after all these steps have been completed, you will be well on your way to forgiveness. And like I said, there's going to always be circumstances that are going to trigger you, and you can see them as an opportunity to practice your newfound skills. And you'll have better coping skills, you'll know that healing is possible, you'll know what it takes to heal. As you heal the wounded inner child, because a lot of times when we're triggered, that goes right back to our childhood. Like, everything repeats in cycles, and it tends to take us right back to our developmental years, which is a talk for another day and another workshop, healing the wounded inner child. So once you do that, you step into your mature adult self. You're moving towards self-actualization, which is a psychological term. In other words, becoming your higher self, the best version of yourself possible. And you're cultivating faith that everything that happens in life is part of this magnificence of creation that's ever evolving. And with that in mind, you will experience more joy, more beauty, and reverence for all that life has to offer. Thank you for listening, everyone. Namaste.
Don't go away. Thank you for giving us that wonderful presentation. And if there are any comments or questions for Nadine, we can take some now.